Hi, Sana. How you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Like, quite excited for this ex episode. It's like
Me too,
so
me
good.
too.
Like, I don't know. Ryan. So I was talking to Ryan. Then it was like, oh, I could like talk to you, and you could come on. Then I was surprised. Like, I was expecting a no because I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, like she doesn't know me. She's never seen me before. Like, what are the tendencies? So like, I'm glad you're here,
Yeah.
and I'm sure like the listeners would understand, get so much more like from you today.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm so
I
sure
hope
because
so.
like your Instagram videos are like so loaded, and
Oh,
I'm like,
thank
oh, like this
you.
is like really nice.
I
Oh,
try, I try.
so what has been the most fun thing you've done in the past week or this week, really?
Oh gosh. What is a fun thing that I've done?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I genuinely don't even know. I've just been working all week.
Oh.
I think the fun thing that I love, and I know like some people probably won't get this, but for me this is fun, is I love spending time in the Word,
Yeah.
and I love the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to me.
So
Because
fun.
sometimes, and I don't know if it's just me, but I don't, probably some Christians feel like this, is we just feel like we're not doing enough, or we feel like we can't hear God, and that can sometimes make me feel quite like, oh God, like are you not close to me?
Yeah.
Like it makes me feel lost, like, and I want to always know that I'm so close to God. So when
Okay.
I'm spending time with him and I'm like, oh, I've heard him and he's speaking to me, for me that's a fun thing because it makes me feel better
Yeah.
and it makes me feel more close to him.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's, for me, that's fun. I love that.
Yeah. Sorry, a question just popped up in my head while
Yeah.
you're talking about people wanting to feel close to God. Like, you know, people understand that God loves us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son just for us. And in as much as we want to be close to God, don't you think like God also wants to be close to us?
Absolutely.
And so when people like make mistakes, sin, and they just feel like, okay, there's a barrier between them, what would you say is the best thing to do at that moment? Like once you feel the barrier, or like
Yeah.
you're just being hesitant to go back to God?
Well, thank for that. Is to get into the secret place.
Yeah.
And that's something I've been practicing a lot, because when
What's the
we,
secret place?
so the secret place is where the Bible says, get into your room, close the door, and get to God, get with God.
Okay.
It's when you get into his presence, that's the secret place where no one is watching and you can just be yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we can wear a mask when we're
Yeah.
out in our days because we don't want people to know what we're going through.
Yeah.
The secret place is where you just come, you break down, and you tell God, God, this is what I'm going through. And I know it's only you can help me get out of it. And a lot of time people, I think, don't feel close to God, or they feel like God's distance. It's because they carry guilt and shame.
Yeah.
They carry condemnation. And the Bible says we have no condemnation
Yeah.
when we are in Christ Jesus, because
Yeah.
he has redeemed us. But it's normal to feel like that. And I feel like that a lot as well. And which
Yeah.
is why I need to get in the secret place every day. For me, that can be in the mornings when I'm getting ready for work, or just before I get to bed, is when I'm like, God, I'm pouring my all out to you right now, because I know the only one that can fill that void, that gap, is you. And that's when things start to break off. Shame starts to break off. Guilt starts to break off. Worry, anxiety, whatever you're feeling starts to break off, because you know when you're in God's presence,
Yeah.
there is liberty. The word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that freedom is when we're in that place with Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's what I
Yeah,
think, yeah.
that's like so right. And you mentioned something while speaking. You spoke about void. In July last year, I don't know what happened. I moved to Scotland in January, so like I've been from home for about 15 months now. Then in July last year, something was happening to me. It felt like I was getting depressed. Like I just didn't know what was happening. Then, you know, like I was trying to fill a void. It felt like something was really empty inside of me. Then I tried all things, like prayed, like I just don't know what happened. Then I went for like this prayer meeting, like with some friends, and we're like just a fellowship. Then it felt like, oh, like a breeze just came in, a warm breeze. I just took away all my burdens because I had so many things that were just on my mind. Then I figured out after that, oh, this wasn't like something peculiar to me. Every human has this void in their heart, and everyone has this void they face part time. which only God can fill. So like we live in a world currently where we're trying to do anything to fill that void. We're trying to like drink, we're trying to like party, we're trying to like make. But like I think the void was designed to be there, like intentionally, knowing that you can't rely on yourself as a person. So like this morning while reading Isaiah, I realized how God was talking about the clay pot and how the clay maker makes the clay pot, and you think you're the clay pot, you're better than the clay maker. It doesn't add up. So it's like, well, we were created for a reason by just someone. Like it wasn't an act of coincidence. It was actually a lot of intentions put in, which is really cool. You brought that up. So it just kicked in my mind. I'm like, wow, which is really interesting.
No, that's really good, Dem, you brought that up, because it's so interesting, because I didn't think I was going to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
But just yesterday, while I was having breakfast, and I always take communion just before I have my breakfast, and while taking communion, I was just saying, Lord, just speak to me, your servant is listening, because I always like to carry something that he's given to me throughout my day. And he bought the verse Isaiah 43:1.
Yeah, that's what I was reading this morning.
That's okay. This is so God, right? I'm actually going to share it with you because I like it. I actually wrote some doubts. Hold on, I'm going to share this with you because this is so weird. And it's interesting how you bought this, because I actually wrote this down.
I don't think this podcast is not a coincidence. It was like,
It's God. So it was Isaiah 41:3. So it says, but now this is what the Lord, your creator, says, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity. I have called you by name. You are mine. So number one, what God says matters. This is what the Holy Spirit has told me to, this is what he said to me. He says, number one, what God says matters. He is your creator. He who made you. So he knows you better than anyone. Number one, he is our creator.
Yeah.
And number two, he says, God knows who you are before salvation, but he makes you a new creation when salvation takes place. So one of the things that stood out to me here was their name Jacob and the name Israel.
Yeah.
And it's funny how God says, oh, Jacob, and then he says, oh, Israel. So when you're reading a Bible, you've got to always read it in context.
Yeah.
Like, why are these two names here being mentioned? And number one, Jacob, that was his name before God changed his name to Israel.
Yeah.
And you know, in the Bible, names are so important.
Yeah.
God changes your names. He's changing your identity. He's changing how he sees you now. So that stood out to me, because Jacob, before he became Israel, he was a trickster.
Yeah.
You know, he was stubborn.
Yeah.
So he always, like, he did things how he thought they should have went. Like, he didn't lean on God's, like, full approval, like, yeah, oh, this true. Is God, this is what we're going to do. He just did things the way he thought was right. But when God changed his name to Israel, is because when the angel of the Lord came to him, I can't remember what verse it is, but I think it's in Genesis, where the angel of the Lord came and he fought with him all night, and to the point where he dislocated his rib.
Yeah.
And then he said, now I'm changing your name to Israel, because now Jacob is going to be in full dependence to God.
Yeah.
Do you know, and he changed his name, whereas now he's going to be fully dependent on him. So that really stood out to me, that this is why God changed his name. And then number three, eternal blessings take place when God redeems us from captivity. So now that his name was changed to Israel, God had brought him into eternal blessings. And we see that now from Jacob, who was now Israel, he had these 12 tribes, which we get the tribe of Judah, where our Lord and Savior comes from. And number four, also, I've also wrote here captivity and brokenness. So place of like loss and that void that you were talking about, that brokenness, whatever we're going through, he takes us out of that. He changes our identity. And I think the reason why God brought this verse to me that yesterday morning was because I was feeling that way.
Yeah.
I was sitting down, I was having breakfast, and I was like, God, I feel quite lost right now. And it's maybe because I've been so busy with work, I've not been spending as much time with him as I usually would. But also that kind of, I started feeling a bit like, you know, sometimes when you think you're a Christian, people are watching you.
Yeah.
And you start to feel like these judgmental thoughts of like, what are they thinking of you, or how they're looking at you? Like, you start feeling these things, you know. But I feel like what God was reminding me from this verse was, Sana, once you were this person, but now I have redeemed you, you're not that person anymore. I've given you a new identity. You're a new creation in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think just remembering that just lifted me up, because, and then I thought, how God sees me is so important. And when he knows you, it's really important as well, because sometimes people will know you, but they don't fully know you because you don't have that relationship with them.
Yeah.
But when you have a deep and intimate relationship with someone, they know you, past, present, and they can see how you're going to be in your future as well, because they know, oh, you're a world changer, you're a game changer, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. They see that in you because they see your relationship with, they have that relationship with you. And then it goes on to say, I have called you by your name, you are mine.
Yeah.
Like, he's called you by a new name. Like, you are the redeemed because of Jesus. He's called you by your name and you're mine. You're his now. Like, you belong to him. And knowing that, there's so much freedom just in knowing that.
Yeah.
Because when you know you belong to God, you don't have to worry about what the world thinks of you, because the world will always have opinions about who you are, especially when you're a Christian. I just feel like you get judged quite a lot because there's this expectancy, like, oh, you're a Christian, you need to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know? And then we're always humans, we're always going to fail, we're always going to make mistakes. Seeing how God sees us is so important, because he knows your flaws and he knows you will make those mistakes. But when we come to the secret place, when we come to that place, like, God, I need you today, because yeah, without you, I can't do this. That's when he begins to fill those voids and those gaps.
So, like, from what you said, it's, like, so, like, very important, you know, when you're, like, oh, God has made all things new, you know, that was what he, like, that was one thing that stood out for me from Isaiah 43 itself. So, like, while just going through it earlier this morning, I got to, like, 15 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
Then where God was talking about, oh, like, talking about the miracles he did for the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. He opened the waters, making a dry path through the sea. He called for the mighty army of Egypt.
Yeah.
Then all those things, like, made me realize the things God has done for me. You know, I've experienced God in diverse so many ways. And, you know, we say, count your blessings and name them one by one. So I was counting this, like, one by one, like, the things God had done, like, for me, for my family. And then I went to verse 15. Then it's like, oh, forget about all the things I've done previously. It says, I'm about to do something new. Then I screamed on my bed. My bed is beside the road. Then I'm like, God is about to do something new. I was like, I was so excited this morning. Then I'm like, okay, God, what are you about to do? Then I went further. I was like, oh, that it's nothing compared to what he has done. And he has already started it. It was like, do you not see it? Then I'm like, God, I see your work already. I can't deny it. Like, it's already working out. And I was just in awe of God. I applied for my graduate visa last week, Friday. I submitted the application 6 p.m. It takes time. It takes probably 2 weeks to like 8 weeks. So, like, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 2 days. Like, it came Monday, Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, like, they mailed me and they were like, oh, congratulations. I'm like, this doesn't happen anywhere.
Yep.
I'm like, God, you're just, it felt like Wednesday was the biggest day of my life, because I had, like, a lot of results I've been hoping for. And they were like, oh, yes, congratulations, this, congratulations, that. Then I'm like, God, what's happening? Like, it's the new things happening already. I was just so excited.
Yeah.
And, like, trusting in God, insecurity, I struggle with that a lot. I struggle with self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with fear of, I like things being predictable. And faith requires not knowing, but just putting everything in God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, especially self-doubt, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, am I good enough? Am I the best version of myself? Am I doing this enough? And I know I'm not the only one that struggles with this inside. And how I overcome that is praying, really, because I'm a very shy person, introverted person. So if I don't spend time with God early in the morning, the day could, I don't know, could go AY. Not that I'm scared.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It could just go, like, I don't know, I would be the most shy person. I won't be so outspoken. I would have a lot of self-doubts, wanting to try things. I'm like, oh, there's failure coming for me. Like, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
So spending time with God, like, takes everything away and just fills me with all of him.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, yes, by God, I can run through a troop. It's like I'm a lion just ready to, like, devour. Yeah, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. God had this all planned out, the podcast.
And just say what What God just reminded me as you were saying that, he just reminded me of the life of David. Like before David came to the battlefield, he was in the secret place by
By
himself.
himself.
And by himself, that's where he was hearing God's voice. He was building that relationship with God, which is why he was able to fight with the lion and the bears. So when he came across Goliath, he was like, "Who are you to be speaking about my
My
God?"
God,
So you're like, "How dare you?"
it's
And I
mind
think,
blowing.
yeah. And I think that's the kind of spirit we carry when we get into the secret place and we come out of it and the devil throws these arrows at us and we're like, absolutely not. Like, I've got the weapons, I've got the armor of God on. There's no way you're going to take me down. And it's just we come out of that stronger. And yeah, so that I just remembered that
Yeah,
as you
it's
were
like
saying that.
it's mind-blowing. You know, I was telling someone recently, I was like, the reason why Solomon could have 1,000 like wives around him was because he never fought a war. Like there was just so much peace, there was so much comfort. And I've realized that comfort is good, peace is good. But when everything around you is just so comfortable, there's nothing challenging you, it becomes a problem because you tend to just recess or recede, like just
You
fall
won't know how
behind.
to handle it,
Exactly. So like Solomon just had so much with like out doing anything. So like that's why I could just do whatever I liked. I'm just like, oh, see, David, every time like he messed up, he had to run back because he knew the amount of battles God had saved him from, and he knew how many times God could have replaced him. You know, like while he was talking to Michal, and he was like, oh, the God that took the throne away from your father and gave it to me. It's like amusing someone always realizing that, oh, without me, like without God, there's no me. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
just
100%.
it's like so amusing. And so yeah, guys, like just to let you know, the people listening, like this wasn't pre-planned.
It genuinely wasn't.
It
God
wasn't
prepared
pre-planned.
it way
Yeah, I was
beforehand.
actually planning to ask you different questions, not doing Bible study with you.
It's fine, it's
Yeah.
fine. Go with
So
it.
like how did your Christian journey start?
So, like I was saying to you previously, I got saved when I was 17 years old. We used to go to this church from my dad's. He was my dad's friend. He was a pastor and he was Pakistani and he used to do services in Punjabi and Urdu. We used to go to their church every Sunday and we'll go. So I was Catholic before that, but while I was a Catholic, it was just I used to go to church every Sunday, would do all my prayers, everything. But like we were talking about that void, there was that void that I was still carrying because I didn't fully know Jesus for myself. I always saw him through other people's opinions and their eyes and how they portrayed him to me, but I didn't have that personal relationship with myself. And I just had that gap. I was like, God, something's missing. Like, I'm doing all these religious duties, prayers, going to church. Like, my mom and dad had this altar, this huge statue in the living room. And I kid you not, you know, I used to pray every morning, pleading to the statue, like, please, please, please. Like, literally, now when I think about it, I'm like, what the heck? But I literally used to, like, plead to the statue, like, please come through, but it wasn't God, you know. And it wasn't until we started going to this church, the pastor would read from the Bible and teach from the Bible, and the way he would explain the relationship about with Jesus and the way he presented Jesus, it was so beautiful and I loved it. And I remember that day when I gave my life to God, like the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me. I could not stop crying. I was shaking. And that's when I knew something was different. And from that moment, I was like, I want to give my life to God. Like that's it. I'm going to become a born again Christian. And I just made that decision. It wasn't easy because my dad thought I had joined in a cult. Literally thought I joined in a cult. It was really, really tough. And being a first generation Christian, like no one in my family was born again. I was the first person to give my life to Christ. So it was really tough because when you're like my mom and dad, like my family were really like back-minded. It was like our whole family's done this, our whole family's been like this. How could you change? And it was like
Were your parents or Catholics?
but they still didn't get it. It was still different, like the whole water baptism and serving in church, it was just so different to them. And it was very difficult, like living in the same house and trying to like go to church every day and worship. Like I'd be worshiping in my room and I'd be told to like be quiet because you're singing too loud. And I was like, I don't care. David, dance to the Lord. I'm gonna do it too. Do you know? Like I was just so excited. I was so excited. I was so in love of Jesus. It was amazing. But as a journey like as I started like journey my like through faith, like I started to get to know Jesus more, started to get to know my Bible more. Like, God started to expose so much stuff to me. And it was like, it was a yo-yo. It was up and down, up and down. Yeah. It was like, you know, just your journey's not easy. Like, you know, you go through so much.
Yeah.
But I think I fully, like, this is my personal, like, that's what I think. I think gave my life to Christ properly was during lockdown.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
So, like, from the point of you being a teen, like, at 17, you weeping and crying till lockdown, to, like, how were you able to, like, cope with the pressure from friends, from, like, society?
So over the years, it kind of, like, it was, like, I lost all my friends because I was in school, actually.
Yeah.
I was in sixth year when I gave my life to Christ. And I actually lost all my friends in school because I thought it was weird, because I would take my Bible to school and read it, like, during free periods and stuff. Yeah. And, like, I just wasn't entertaining their conversations anymore. But to me, that was, like, a win situation because I didn't need those kind of people in my life. Like, I had so much freedom knowing that I knew Jesus, and, like, the peace, the freedom that I was getting in that, like, to have lost these friends, I just think that was God protecting me. Like, 100%, He was definitely protecting me. That, so that, I think not having those friends in my life, like, I love them and I miss them, but I just think not having them in my life at that moment was a good thing because He was protecting me from a lot of, like, chaos.
Yeah.
Do you know? That's what I love about God. Like, sometimes He'll remove things or remove people out of your life for your protection to move you forward into the plans that He has for you, because sometimes these people just kind of hold you back. Do you know? And for Him to do that, I was like, I thank Him so much for doing that at that time. But it wasn't easy. But as I was the only person saved at the time, it wasn't until 10 years, it took them 10 years to be saved. I prayed 10 years for my siblings to be saved. And it was after 10 years, they actually gave their lives to Christ and came to the same church. Yeah, all of them. So my three brothers and my sister. So that was, I think,
when you were 27.
Huh?
That's when you were 27.
You don't think so, yeah. It was in 2016, I'm sure it was. 2016, yeah. I think it was 26 or 27. I think it was around about that time, yeah. My little brother, my mum was a bit Pakistan, and he was in the house by myself with me, and he would just sit and play his games, and I said to him, "You'll come to church." And he was like, "No, I'm not." I was like, "You're coming to church. You're coming to church, like, with me."
This
I forced him. I was like, "You're coming to church." And he came to church with me that Sunday, and he absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it. He just found friends. He was playing football, and then he would start coming to church with me every Sunday. And then seeing his life, my sister was like, "Oh, like, he's enjoying himself. I'm going to come too."
Yeah.
You know, because then she wanted to come, and, like, she started coming.
Was
and she made
Pakistan?
So many. Yeah, no, Priya.
Yeah,
here. So then she started making so many friends. She started coming. And then just after seeing their lives change, then my other brother started coming as well. I still have one brother who doesn't live with us, so he's not saved yet. Well, I think he is saved, but he's just kind of moved away from God. So we're still believing for him to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they three did. So
are
that
you,
was
are
a
you
huge.
The first child?
Huh? I'm the first child.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the oldest. So yeah, it was difficult. But yeah, so it started getting a bit more sweeter once my brothers and my sister got saved, because then we started going to church together and doing church life. So it started getting a little bit better. But yeah.
That's cool. Like, your family, like, everyone going to church.
And even, like, my mum and dad, like, as they started seeing our journey and started seeing that we're loving church and we're not letting the world define us, we're not letting the world change us, because what my mum and dad thought when I got saved was, oh, she's just following the crowd. Like, she'll get over it. But when they started to see my commitment that, no, I was not going to change my mind, like, I am following Jesus till the day I die, until He comes back to take me, I'm going to keep following Him. And they saw that change in me. They saw, like, my passion for the Word, and they saw my passion for church. And even now, my mom actually, like, she is, like, such a believer of prayer now. And, like, she can't read her Bible, but she listens to her Bible every single day. That's, like, amazing. It's incredible. Like, I always say,
wait,
my mom's a prayer.
Did you lead your siblings, like, to Christ? Like, was the process while you were a teenager, or, like, while you were still, while you're grown at 27?
I think it was, I think for them, it was, they saw me going to church every day, but, like, every week, sorry. but they fully didn't understand until they saw my little brother come to church.
Oh.
And they saw, okay, so he's growing as well. So it's not just me, it's impacted, he's been impacted too.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought, that's when I think they were like, right, something's
Oh.
like, they need God.
I'm sure your little brother will be like, oh, sister. Yeah. That's amazing. So, like, what happened during COVID?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened during COVID? So when COVID was, when COVID came about, it was quite, it was a scary thing because you were like, oh my gosh, we can't meet anybody.
Yeah.
Can't do things.
Yeah.
So it was a scary situation. But I remember one of my friends from church saying to me, and I always remember, I tell this to everybody.
Your church, where are you going to?
C7. I went to C7 church.
Uh-huh.
And I remember her saying to me, she was like, Sana, you're going to come out of lockdown either fat or strong. And I said, I'm not coming out of lockdown fat. I'm going to come out strong.
Yeah.
So then I said to God, I was like, God, right, I've got all this time, right?
Yeah.
I've got all this time. What do I do with it? And I said, right, I'm going to make this choice. I'm actually going to spend time. Because I used to always, we always made the excuse that I'm working, I'm doing this, I don't have time to read my Bible. But now God was like, you have all the time in the world to read your Bible. Like, what are you going to do about it? So it was in those moments I started reading my Bible every single day, and I started to give myself a challenge that I was going to read 10 chapters a day.
Amazing.
So I started reading 10 chapters a day and just really getting into it, digging into it. I started doing like wee courses as well. So yeah. I used to listen to John Bevere and Lisa Bevere quite a lot. So they have this app called Messenger X, and they have a lot of free courses on it. It's absolutely amazing. So I did so many of their courses on the app during lockdown as well. But one of the things, this is what changed my journey.
Yeah.
This is why I'm here today. This is what changed my journey with God.
Yeah.
Was learning what spiritual warfare was. That's a whole nother topic, but
yeah.
I tell you, it changed my life, because there was so much thing that was happening in my life, and I was like, God, why are these things happening? Like, I don't get it, do you know? And I came across
What could, you don't have to like say it directly,
uh-huh.
but what could have been like the biggest thing you were going through at that point?
The biggest thing I personally, do you mean me personally?
Yeah, yeah, you.
So the biggest thing I was personally going through was knowing my identity.
Yeah.
I think that's one, even as I was a Christian and even while going to church through my whole journey from teenager to before lockdown, was I didn't know my identity too well. So I was a people pleaser. I always compared myself to people quite a lot. I was in church, but I was always comparing myself to other people's journey. And I think that was the biggest downfall for me, because that was one of the things that was really stopping me from growing and moving forward in what God had called me to do, like what was my calling, what was my journey with him. So I think that was one of the things that was really stopping me from moving forward. And I think, I believe now, God made that time happen for him to get me out of that place and in that place of freedom. And like I was saying to you, I'm so content in myself now and spending time with God myself, because now I know who I am and I know how God sees me. But at first, I didn't fully understand that, and I didn't fully see that. Like, I would see people, like leaders at church, and I'd be like, I want to do that, I want to do that. But then I didn't really. I just thought I had to be in that place to feel validated,
yeah,
or to feel important, but that was such a lie from the devil. Like, that wasn't true. And I think that's one of the things that God really helped me through my journey during lockdown, was to learn, how does God see me?
Yeah.
And who am I to him for him to use me for his glory? Like, that was one of the things that definitely changed my journey.
Amazing. That's yeah. Something to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, what has God called you to do as a person?
So I think one of the things that God has gifted me to be as a teacher, like, yeah. And that's one of the things I love doing my Instagram posts. I love teaching people the word of God. Like, I love it. Like, when God gives me a revelation, I'm like, I need to share this. I need to tell people. Like, that gives me so much joy. And I think that's one of the things God has definitely called me to do, is teach his word and to tell people. And I think that's probably a bit of evangelism as well.
Yeah.
Like, I would never thought to be an evangelist, but that kind of like is a little bit of it. So yeah, I love doing that. And I think that's one of the things God has called me to do.
It's amazing. It's like really amazing. It's good.
Yeah.
So from the point at which you started taking God serious after COVID or during COVID to now, how would you say like you've grown like so much?
I think I've when I look back at myself then, I was like, I look back at myself then and I'm like, wow, I wish I could just tell that girl that this is not the place that God wants you to be, you know. And I look at myself now and I'm like, only God.
Yeah.
Only God. Like, this is not, I could never get to where I am today. Only God could do that. And that only happened by reading his word and spending time with him.
Like, how are you able to stay consistent with, like, your career? Like, you were working during these times and stuff.
You just have to prioritize it. Like, you have to prioritize it. Like, now when I see people saying, oh, I don't have time. No, you 100% do have time. You have time. You just need to prioritize your time. And for me, that is, like, yeah, like, I work. Sometimes my shifts are always different at work. So what I do now is I prioritize my mornings with God.
Yeah.
Like, I give him that as my priority. But then I always do it just before I go to bed as well, because I want to be able to say, God, this is how my day went, and just have that conversation with him. Yeah. I don't want it just to end there. But I don't just end it there. I always spend that time with him during my lunch as well. And that's something I started doing just, I think it was just after lockdown, actually. I would always just take my iPad and go for lunch, and I would just sit and listen to a sermon or read my Bible. So that's how I spend time with him. So
instead of, like, talking to your co-workers, you just sit
alone. Yeah, like, and I think that as well, like, God's given me so much confidence and boldness now. Like, people in my work know I'm a Christian, and they know, like, if they need prayer, they just come to me. Like, there's been times where I've actually prayed for my colleagues on the shop floor.
For real?
I have. I literally have. And I do it without fear, because I'm like, people can talk about filthy things in work, I'm going to talk about Jesus.
Okay, so like they just walk up to you like, oh, Sarah,
like, they'll just tell me something, and like, if Holy Spirit directs me, I'll just say, can I pray for you? And I love this about unbelievers, is they never shy away from prayer. They never shy away from prayer.
Well, I don't think it's just, I think it's everyone.
It's so good.
Like, everyone loves to be prayed for, but no one wants to understand the process. It's like, oh, it's like a rigorous thing. Let me just have someone pray over me, and that's just it.
So like, God's given me that boldness that, like, I will never be afraid. Like, even if I see someone on the streets, I'm like, if I'm talking to them, I'll just be like, can I pray for you? And I'll just do it, because why should we as Christians be afraid to do that? Do you know? And that's one thing God challenged me, and I challenge every believer. Why should you be afraid to speak the name of Jesus when he's done so much for you? Like, why? You can have the filthiest conversations, but when it comes to Jesus, why do you shy away? Do you know?
That's thought provoking, you know?
Absolutely. Like, the one who died for you, rose for you, why are you so frightened? Why are you so scared to speak his name?
Aye.
You know?
Yeah.
Do it.
I have a question.
Okay.
If you had a son.
Okay.
One only son, what would you do with that child?
Sorry, say that again?
Like, if you had just one child, and the child was a guy, a son, what would you do with him?
I would dedicate him to the Lord, 100%. I've said that to God, because I love the story of, it's Hannah in the Bible, when she's desperate to have a child, and she says to God, like, if you give me this son, I'm going to dedicate you to him. So that's one. If I had a son, I would 100% say, God, I'm giving you this son.
That's
because for God to give me a child, for God to trust me with a child, that's a huge blessing in itself. But for me to be like, God, I'm going to bring my child up to love you and put you first. I think that is one thing I would definitely do for God.
Yeah.
But like giving back, because I've seen how much God has done for me, and I want him to be able to use my child for his glory.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, while you're speaking about, oh, God has done so much for us, like, why are we shy to, like, talk about him in public? Like, every time I'm, like, just in awe of the love of God towards us as mortals, because I'm like, there's no reason why immortal God needs to, like, die on behalf of a mortal. He sent his only son to die for me. Before I came to the world, he was thinking about me ahead. I'm like, gosh, like, God, why? You didn't have to stress yourself, but you still went all the way. Like, there were a lot of things Jesus could have done on the cross, but he chose to do the best for me. I'm like, okay, like, just for me, I'm like, wow, that's, I can't believe God.
Yeah.
You know, while people get so lucky to, like, get preached to about God, probably, like, in their teens, and probably while you're old. I didn't have that luck. Like I had to like immediately I was born, I was fighting spiritual warfare. My mom gave birth to me 9 years after she gave birth to my senior sister. So I think she had multiple miscarriages. So like while I came into the world, it was a world of trying to survive. So it wasn't about me being young, going to school. Yeah, that was good. That was important. But will this boy live to the next day? So like there were so many options like open to me. My dad tried a different option of the world. My mom dedicated me to the Lord. So I was consistently in church, being prayed for, trying to solve this because I had sicknesses that doctors could not answer. I was in coma, and doctors said there was nothing wrong with him, and I wasn't alive. So it was just different experiences that I had. Then I'm like, when I see people, I'm like, guys, you guys are really lucky, you know. I wish I just had your chance. And with, oh, someone just walks to me, I'm like, oh, God loves you and stuff. But like, I knew that while I was born, while I was a child, knowing that one day I sat down with my dad was preparing to go to work and he was having a cup of coffee. This time I was probably like in 200 level back in Nigeria. And my dad looked at me, it was like, hope you know you are alive today, not because of the things I tried, but because God actually kept you. Then I'm like, yeah, I know. Because when people say things like asthma is hereditary, asthma just appeared in my lungs, like different diseases that like no one could trace. And I'm like, okay. And it actually goes by the power of prayer and with time. And I'm like, just so grateful to God for everything.
Do you know what God just showed me there? Thank you, Holy Spirit. He just showed me the story of Moses. The enemy wanted to kill off what God had called to redeem his people, And if it wasn't for Moses and his obedience to what God had called him to
Going to
do,
do.
he wouldn't have been able to get the Israelites out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So although that you have went through so much in your life,
Yeah.
God has called you for such a time as this.
Yeah. Like I know that, but times I'm just like, God, it's too much.
But that's normal to feel like that.
Yeah.
Like even for myself, in 2021, I was diagnosed with stage four endometriosis.
Wow.
Oh, when I tell you it's the worst thing ever, it is the worst thing ever. I think if I hadn't gone through my surgery, I don't think I would have been, I don't think I would have survived. I probably wouldn't be here because of the pain and the severity of what it was. And like you were talking about, I'm so sorry, I've totally forgotten, but when I was oh, it was your application, you were talking about how God did it in like such a quick time. So when I before I was diagnosed, I actually went to go see, to the hospital to see the gynecologist, and I told her and she's seen all my records because I was in A&E every single week with the pain, and they just couldn't figure out what was going on. They kept diagnosing me with other things, and I was like, it's not this, like I know something's wrong. And I went to go see my gynecologist, and she said to me, I'm going to put you on an urgent waiting list for surgery. And she said it can take up to 2 years. So I walked out of that place thinking, right, fine, okay, God, I'll just take the painkillers, I'll just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. And I just left it at this. I was disappointed, but I thought, you know what, God, at least now I know answers and I know this is how long it's going to take. I'll just deal with it. To know, I kid you not, it was like God parted the sea. I literally got a call from the hospital the following week to say, can you book your appointment for surgery? And I got my surgery within a month. And that's when they found out I had stage four, which was so severe. And I think if I hadn't gone for surgery at that time, I probably would have killed myself with painkillers because the amount of painkillers I was taking every single day. I don't even remember conversations that I had with people because I was so doped out in drugs every day. Like the damage that it would have had on my organs at the time. Like God saved me, and if he hadn't saved me out of that, I wouldn't be here giving him glory today. I wouldn't be sharing my testimony, So what the devil meant for evil, God
Good
meant for
one.
good. He took me out of that because he knew, no, I'm not done with you yet. And I hold on to that so much now because I'm like, and I don't take that lightly now because I'm like, I could have died. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing. And that's when I started doing my videos. Like I started doing them just last year because I used to do like posts where I would just type like a certain message and I'd do it, but God was like, no, I want you to go deeper now. I want you to actually start doing what I've called you to do. And it was difficult because the thought that came to my mind was, God, like, no, what if no one watches them? What if, like, you know, like, you get these questions in your mind, like, God, I don't know if I can do this, because you can do this, because I've been preparing you this for years, and now you've got to step into what I've called you to do. You know, you've got to be that good and faithful servant that he's given you, the talents. How are you going to multiply it? You know, and that's what God was challenging me tonight. And now when I get a revelation for God, I'm like, God, I need to share this with people. I need to share it with the world, because there's someone on the other side that is listening. And in fact, I actually had a friend come into my work, and she's not a Christian, but she also has stage 4 endometriosis. And she came into my work to meet me. She's like, Sana, I watch all your videos. She's like, I love them. Like, they make me so happy. And that's not even a Christian saying that. Do you know? And that gave me so much encouragement, because I thought, God, wow, like, I sometimes think no one's liking them, no one's watching them. It doesn't make any difference. But that one person
People
God
are
is reaching out
watching.
to, God is reaching out to that one person that he needs to reach out to. He knows who the lost sheep is, and he'll leave the 99 to go find that one.
So
Do you
true.
know? So for me, I'm like, God, I'm a broken vessel. Use me as you want to, because what he's taken me out of, I can't take that lightly. You know?
I had that same thing for my podcast while starting. I'm like, who listen to this black boy, man?
Well, I did.
But
And so
yeah,
many are.
because like I'm just like, wow, like by the time I started the first one, I'm sure people are like, what's happening? What's this guy doing? Then the second one, the third, then I realized people were stopping me on the road. I'm like, I know you.
That's
I
amazing.
listen to your
Oh.
podcast. I'm like, no, it's not me.
It's you.
It's actually the most amazing part isn't that, oh, like these guys are just like some of my friends listen to my pod like listen to my podcast and I'm surprised to listen to it. I'm like, oh, my friends wouldn't definitely support me,
Yeah.
but like I feel they like just listen to it in a kind of way and they're like, oh man, that story was mad. I'm
Yeah.
like, yeah, it was. They tell me everything that happened and they are unbelievers. Some of them are probably struggling with like different things, probably
Yeah.
homosexuality. So I can definitely reach them through this platform
Absolutely.
without us going direct, like in, oh, this is right, this is wrong,
Yeah.
this is right, this is wrong. I'm just like, okay, it's amazing what God is doing. And we're at like an award night. And one of my friend, she just walked up to me. I was like, oh, I was listening to that episode. I'm like, you listen to my
That's
podcast? I'm
amazing.
like, and the thing about podcasts is you never know
You
who's
don't
listening.
realize
And you
it.
never know
Yeah.
like who is getting transformed by it. Everyone just stays quiet. I'm like, okay, they're waiting for the next episode to drop.
Literally,
And sometimes you expect it, like, oh, you get messages and you're like, oh, I like your podcast, but God has made it like that in such a way that you won't be able to take the glory to yourself. So like these people have been transformed and God is just doing his work in them. And it's like, oh, it's not about you, it's
Yep.
just about you just being a vessel. I'm
Yep.
like, oh wow, what a privilege. And it's exciting now, like it's
Yeah.
just so
Because
good.
God trusts you what he's called you to do, but it's your obedience that's going to make it happen. You know?
I'm like, okay, imagine if I battled with starting. If I didn't start November, I would have regretted it because I'm like, okay, I was meant to start a podcast, but because of people, the thing I tell people is people would always talk. So just
Absolutely.
start early and let them
Yeah.
talk and get over it,
Yeah.
and they know that, oh, you started it here,
Yeah,
which is
definitely.
amazing. It's just following God sometimes is, oh,
It's
it's good.
not going to be easy, but you've got to trust the process.
Yeah, you've got to
You
trust.
have to trust the process, because with every journey, you're going to have ups and downs, but there will always be success in the end. Do you
And
know?
like even in Isaiah 43, it was talking about, oh, if you go through fire, like you would not be burnt.
Yep, you
So
won't smell like the smoke.
yeah, the thing is that God acknowledges that there'll be fire, there'll be
Yeah.
rivers of
Yeah.
difficulty, but you won't get drowned by
Yeah.
them. So a lot of times people want God to be a magician, like,
Yeah.
oh, I want you to just take away the problem. And
Yeah.
at times God makes you go through it because it's a building process. How would you grow as a Christian without
Absolutely.
not like
Yeah.
facing all these challenges and being able to come out on top? In January, something like I've had so many things God had squashed, like for me. So in January to March, I needed like a huge amount of money for different things. God provided all those things. While I was thinking about them last year, God made me do some things last year that gave me like what I needed this year. Then I'm like, God,
Wow.
it's just I don't
He's
know,
our
it's just good.
provider. He knows.
Yeah, he just knows everything.
And do you
But
know, sometimes I think God, I believe God does things differently,
yeah.
because if you always thought, oh, God's going to do the same thing over and over again, you'd
Yeah.
lose your awe and you'd
Yeah.
lose your wonder
Yeah.
of who he is.
Yeah, you get
You'd
used to it. You
get,
get so comfortable, you're like,
yep.
oh.
And God doesn't want you. He wants you to always be like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what is God going to do? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
Because when you read the Bible, and every time, like through the Gospels, when Jesus is preaching, like these people, the crowd, they saw him do this every day. And they could have been like, oh, he's going to pass by today. He's going to heal somebody. But you see it in the Bible, a constant says that they were in awe, they were amazed.
Yeah,
Like
and they have
Jesus was so
differently.
attractive to
Yeah.
them. Do you know, they never lost their wonder. They
Yeah.
never lost their awe of, oh my gosh, Jesus is here today. What is he going to do?
You know, like
And we
there are
need to have
times that
that.
like it spoke to like, oh, deaf ears be open, blind eyes be
Yeah.
open. Then the point at which he used his saliva to mix a mold.
Oh.
Like I'm sure they'll be like,
You'd be
in
like,
one
gross.
way,
Yeah. Like,
could
okay,
it cut off
Jesus.
the air? Yeah. The part of like sometimes the one that just keeps throwing me off my foot is Lazarus. Lazarus was 4 days dead.
Yeah.
Now, like the biggest miracle wasn't just, oh, Jesus calling forth Lazarus to me. It was that Lazarus was bound, like his legs were
Yeah.
bound, his hands were bound. So how was he able to
How
stand?
did he?
Yeah, like no
Yeah,
one
actually, I've
just,
never thought
yeah,
that. That's so
exactly.
interesting.
Like it was bound, like legs. So it was like, oh, he actually stood up. He stood up. And at the end, and God was like losing, like everything. Just I'm like, I'm sure the people were there, like, oh, is this real?
And the
It's like the
smell
same way,
that would have came from him
yeah.
because he's been dead for so many
It
days.
wasn't probably smelling because they were hugging him. They're like,
Literally,
oh,
probably wasn't.
yeah.
Probably wasn't. Yeah.
It's like so amazing. It's just so good. I'm sure they'll be like, okay, what will Jesus do next? What will he fed 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 people? I'm sure Peter wasn't expecting that I would walk
No.
on water next.
Yeah, they were like, Jesus, come on. What
Come
are you gonna do?
on. It's really interesting. It's like so good. So good. Like this has been really good. Like
Yeah.
beyond what I actually imagined. Yeah, it keeps getting better and like really better and better and better. How would you say when people the stereotypes people deal with coming into a Christian community, let's say someone has like let's imagine being a Christian and you're struggling with probably homosexuality, you're struggling with lust, you're struggling with this, and you feel when you come into a Christian community, you could easily get judged, you could easily get misunderstood, you could easily get like things you won't want yourself, like situations you want yourself to be in. So how would you say like people like that can handle it? Like, okay, how can they overcome those stereotypes and those mindset they have and just give it a try by just walking in?
Yeah, I think that can be a tricky one sometimes,
Yeah.
because that is a lot of things that do people judge Christians for that quite a lot.
Yeah.
But then what, how do I say this? I think what God has taught me over the years is the gospel will always be offensive.
Yeah.
Do you know? It will, because no one likes to hear the truth.
Yeah.
But how you handle the truth and how you speak the truth matters.
Yeah,
Because
true.
if a homosexual person came to Jesus would be loving on that
Yeah,
person,
of course.
because
He
he
wants the
had
pen.
food with the sinners, and the
Yeah.
Pharisees were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you know? So Jesus came for the lost, he came for the
He
hurting.
came for
So we
everyone.
have to, when someone comes into church, like, we just need to love on them
Yeah.
and help them to see the gospel through Jesus's
Yeah.
eyes, like how he sees it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be offensive, because a lot of times people are in these cycles and they don't want to leave their lives behind,
Yeah.
because that's just, it's what they love. It's
Well,
like anything, if you're doing something and you don't want to leave it,
yeah.
and if someone's saying to you, oh, that's bad for you, like for instance, stop eating too, like my sister says to me, stop eating too much sugar, because she knows like that's high inflammation for me. I don't like to listen to something because I'm like, because I love it. I love it. I don't want to let it go. But for me, that's, I get quite like, oh, stop telling me because I love it. I know that she's telling me because it's for my good,
Yeah.
and she knows it's going to help me. And we need to kind of have the same approach. Like, we know that this isn't what God designed someone to walk in, but we still have to love them in a way for them to understand and see themselves through his eyes,
Yeah, I think
because how
love is
Jesus sees
actually
them.
like one of the most powerful things that can actually transform this like people. Instead of you like if I'm walking into a place for the first time and you're like,
Yeah.
oh, don't do this, don't do that,
No, you
I
can't
feel,
do that.
no, I feel that's totally wrong.
You've
So I
got to
feel,
love on them and you've
yeah.
got to help them to see who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
Because our Lord and Savior's not like that.
Yeah. And
He
I
literally
think you
died for
should also
everybody.
give them like space, like to
Yeah.
allow you to do that. Don't be too
Absolutely.
pushy, because when you're very pushy on them, you tend to like scare them off. So just
Yep.
like, oh, understanding them and
Yeah.
getting to know them. Like the way Jesus did something fabulous to Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was on a tree. Like, it was so short, he had to climb. And Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. And Jesus told Zacchaeus that, oh, today I would eat in your home. And like, Zacchaeus did like a big feast, like let's say a big party,
Yeah.
and everyone was seated. And Jesus wasn't even preaching to Zacchaeus
No.
already. Zacchaeus just started talking, and he was like, oh, today, whoever I've duped, I'll return this. Whoever I've stolen from, I'll return this. Like, it
Yeah.
showed how much compassion and
Yeah,
love Jesus gave
100%.
to Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
And from there, Zacchaeus started repenting. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. You've just got to really show them the love of Christ. Like,
Yeah.
that is very important. Yeah, it's going to be offensive when you do bring things up. But like you're saying, just don't be pushy. I
Yeah.
100% agree because it takes time.
Time
Everyone's journey
is
takes
different.
time.
Yeah.
Even when I was giving my example, it's going to take time. Like I
Yeah.
need to cut off things
Yeah.
for then to for me to see, oh, this actually works,
Yeah.
because I've been in the cycle for so long. Like you don't just you can't just go cold turkey unless you want to, obviously.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Ah, it's like so good. Like, I feel talking to you has been a blessing.
Oh,
I would
thank
want to
you.
like
You
record
too.
more episodes with you. So
Yeah.
like we could like probably like every 3 weeks, like if you don't mind, every 2 weeks.
Absolutely, I would love
Yeah,
it.
like it's been so good. Like
Yeah,
so
no,
good.
definitely.
This was so good. Like I'm happy.
Me too. I've loved it. You know,
Yeah.
and this is what I was saying to you, Tino. I love talking about God because it's
Yeah.
so refreshing,
Yeah.
you know. And like my sister's just saying to me, she's like, "Are you nervous?" I was like, "No, because I'm
Oh, did she
just
know you're
I'm
coming today?
yeah."
Oh
So she
no.
was like, I was like, "No, because I'm literally going to be sitting with a friend talking about God." Like,
Oh,
you know,
shout out
like that's
to
so
Rupriya.
exciting. I shout out to Bria.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so I
Yeah.
was like, no, I'm not, because it's when you love something or you love someone, it's not hard to talk about them.
Yeah.
Do you know, because you're passionate. So
Yeah.
like anything, if you love your job or if you love something, you'd be like, oh, let me tell you.
You
You
know,
know.
at first I was like, okay, I don't know if I would ask the right questions. How then I was just like, God, just the tongue of the
Just
learned.
the it's Holy
Like,
Spirit will lead.
I'm just like, okay. Then you brought up the first story. Then I'm like, okay, we read the same thing. I'm like, Isaiah. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is
Yeah,
it.
that's
Yeah.
so interesting. I can't
Yeah.
believe that, because I was literally feeling like that yesterday. I was like, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And I love it because sometimes he'll just bring a verse to my mind. I'm like, where did that even come from? But it
Yeah.
obviously came from him. And then just digging deeper, I'm like, right, okay, God, I get it.
You
Makes
know,
sense.
and there are some situations like, let's say I'm going through a particular challenge and stuff. I'm like, okay, God, take it away. That's the next thing the Holy Spirit says, no, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
Like,
It's
there was
given.
a point I like had to travel like crisscross within like two cities. Imagine I'm in Glasgow today, I'm in Dundee tomorrow, I have to be in Manchester for work the next day. I'm like, God, I can't do this again. I'm going to die. He said, no, you're not.
Yeah,
You're in
literally.
good health. I've not been sick for 15 months or 16 months.
Amazing.
I'm not using drugs, nothing. He says, no. And like the day before, I was having this headache. He says, I know you're having the headache. By the time you wake up in the morning, you feel so refreshed like a baby, and you're still going to take that trip to
Yeah.
Manchester. I'm like, can't I just
Exactly.
cancel it? He said, no, my grace is so. I'm like,
Yes.
okay, when I'm going through the toughest time, I'm like, God, make it disappear. He said, it's not going anywhere. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm like, oh no, not today.
Yeah. And just trust him, like
Yeah.
he's Rafa, he's our healer.
Yeah.
Do you know? And one of the things, I don't know if you do this, but this is one thing God's been this has got something God's taught me to do, is just curse it.
Yeah.
Curse it at its roots.
Yeah.
Like I remember I had a really bad like one of my feet, like there was I had like a skin issue with it. And I remember getting so angry at one point because I was just getting sick of it. And I was like, curse you skin condition. I curse this. I just rebuke it. I'm not accepting it.
Yeah.
And my foot's fine.
Yeah.
Like you just need to, because some of these things, they come in our lives to distract us
Yeah.
and
And
they just
everything
become a hindrance,
listens.
yeah. But
Yeah.
you just need to, you need to walk in your authority.
Yeah.
Because God has given you that authority to
Yeah.
trample upon the snakes and the cobras, you
Yeah.
know, He's given you that authority to speak over it.
Yeah.
Do you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. 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 Then I also know, like, aside from the authority, it's also like your identity. When
Know who
the
you
Bible
are?
says, oh, you're seated with Jesus in
Yeah.
heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So, like, when I look at myself, I know where I'm seated. So, I'm seated far above. It's like I'm so far above. So, I'm just like, oh, there's nothing, nothing. It's amazing. The Bible makes me happy. It's the best. It's the
Absolutely.
best book to encourage you, even like it's just
It's
everything.
life. Like every time I read it, I'm like, I
Yeah.
didn't see this. Where did this come from? Do you know, you get fresh revelation. I was talking to one of my cousins and I was like, the Bible is the one book you can literally read over and over again and
And
never
never
get
get
bored.
tired.
Never ever get bored of it. Because every time you read it, you're like, whoa,
Oh, like
where'd
something
that
new.
come from? I never saw that. Whereas you'd read a book once and you'd be like, oh, I've already read this. Like, I know what's going to happen in each chapter. But it's the one book you can read over and over again and never get bored of it. Like, everything's in that. Like, the whole history of humanity is in the Bible.
It's just
You
so
know,
good.
it's so interesting.
So good. So
Okay.
guys, thank you for listening to us. Sana, it's been a privilege
Thank
having
you.
you, and I'm excited to do this with you over and over and over and
Okay.
over and over again. We could just pick different topics and like ask God just lead you, then I'll just be
Yes.
here to like listen to you and like just yeah, you all. Thank you. Like
Thank you.
thank you guys for listening to us. Hope you enjoy this, and do reach out to Sana on Instagram if you have more questions. Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.